Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman. And this week on the show, I continue my conversation with Sam Yankelevich about the communication challenges facing manufacturing companies as they do business across countries and supply chains, time zones, and cultures. Sam is a veteran of the manufacturing industry. As well, he's a manufacturing coach, an author, and a speaker. And he has valuable insights on how to gain common understanding in your communications. Last week, Sam shared a story about how the simple use of an exclamation point in an email that crossed cultures cost a company hundreds of thousands of dollars. So there's no doubt that miscommunication can be costly. So how do you engage in effective communication? That's where we pick up the conversation. What solutions are you suggesting to overcome miscommunication? Because, you know, you've got the guy who says, well, I sent the email and they replied. I'm assuming that it's going to get done. Like, how do you overcome these miscommunication episodes? And how do you make sure that your people really do communicate properly? Like, what's the right way to get this done?
Right. Well, I don't know what the right way is. I'll tell you kind of the things I see that are working with the, you know, with the teams that I have been facilitating and coaching, the workshops that I run. Number one is really to bring it, you know, to everybody's awareness. Because it's invisible, we have to bring it to an awareness. So how do you do that? The way I do it is, hey, and by the way, Janet, I typically deal with engineers and technical and, you know, the IT people and the financial people that are technically involved in their processes. So they know how to map a process. And so we take them through mapping the communication process. At the end of the day, remember, communication is a process.
Mm-hmm.
To, when we put it out there visually, you know, and do it in such a way where you can see the process and make yourself aware where some obstacles can happen. Because we actually will put the areas where obstacles will happen. That's the first step. Because then you visualize it, you internalize it, and you realize that, in fact, you know, you have this, you know, you have an opportunity to miscommunicate because of those obstacles. The other thing is when something happens and you do a root cause analysis, you know, typically, and I'm a big believer and user of the Ishikawa fishbone diagram. I love it. It's visual. But unfortunately, people like robots are putting these categories on there, which is methods, machines, people, you know, all these six categories that if you Google, everybody uses those categories. But what if you add the categories or add things like communication, language, culture, distance, roles and responsibilities to your fishbone diagram? And when you have people in the room, when you're doing root cause analysis, ask whether any of those factors might have contributed to a physical situation that cost the company money. And so I've done that. And by putting them in the root cause analysis tree, you make them so visual that people start thinking, oh, we need to avoid these things from happening. And those two things that I mentioned start driving responsibility, you know, to that. What I state is that it's everybody's responsibility. And one last thing related to this that I go back to, you know, Dr. Deming, everybody can recite and talk about the 14 points, but Dr. Deming very wisely has chapters on something he called operational definitions, specifically to avoid these problems of misunderstandings and miscommunication between those different areas, interrelated areas in organizations. I'll give you an example of the need for an operational definition. We tend to use this term state-of-the-art equipment. So you put it in a specification, you send this to somebody, you say, and this has to be manufactured in state-of-the-art equipment. Then you start receiving problem, you know, reject parts or parts that have some issues. And you go back and you audit, and you see that they're using this substandard equipment, and you tell them, you're supposed to be using, according to the specification, state-of-the-art equipment, but it's not clearly defined. So you really have to sit down and define, what does that mean? What is state-of-the-art equipment? And, you know, and those kinds of phrases and terms and things that we use so loosely, thinking that everybody's going to understand. And globally, I can tell you that brings a lot of problems. So it's an opportunity to, you know, so again, map the process to make it visible, to make the obstacles aware, you know, bring them to the awareness. Use these things in root cause analysis, include language, culture, distance, and communication things in there. Make everyone responsible and really drill deep into those operational definitions. It makes it will help a lot.
Yeah, I think the visualization will help, and that will also maybe ease any stresses that might appear in a situation like with the exclamation point, right? Because people are people and they're communicating. And, you know, I've talked to Kevin Snook about this many times, and he says, you know, you don't know what somebody is feeling that day. You know, they might have had a bad day. They might have gotten to work and started the day off wrong, and they're just having a bad day, and they read your email and they see that exclamation point and they just go, ah, forget it. Right. Yeah, like you can't read people's emotions when you're reading emails and everything, but if people understand what that visual process is, then, and if you open up those lines of communication to get people to understand, hey, don't talk to me that way. You know, you'll be able to solve more of your communication problems, I'm guessing.
Right. Well, and you make them responsible for picking up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, asking, hey, what do you mean by that exclamation mark?
Right.
That's the, you got it. That's exactly right, Janet.
Yeah. Okay. So back in your very early career, you were really focused on lean. Now, explain to me why it appealed to you and how it can help companies today. Because you talk about lean thinking, you talk about lean communication.
Yeah. Well, I came into lean by chance. You know, I'm an industrial engineer from the Taylor era. Taylorism. When I graduated, that's what they were teaching. That was the curriculum. The first opportunity I had to see something different was actually when I read The Goal by Eliyahu Goldratt, which was the beginning of the theory of constraints. And I started to understand this thing about bottlenecks. And then I started reading some Toyota, you know, books from people that worked at Toyota, where I started to see that it's about the value, but from the customer's perspective. Everything I had been doing was really internal, inside the four walls, thinking of improvements and thinking of getting your processes right, just for the heck of getting them right. You know, it was more of an accounting calculation. And so for me, it appealed that, you know, to see that this from the, you know, from the perspective of the customer. It was talking about flow. It was talking about the flow of processes. And the interesting thing about processes will have bottlenecks. They will have obstacles. And to me, lean is about learning how to go get through those obstacles, get through those bottlenecks. And by working yourself through that, you're learning. And if you do that with the rest of your team, then you have a learning organization that's being created, because you will have problems. And as you work through them, you're going to be learning and moving forward. So I did some lean implementations, both in my own company. And then when I came to the States, I was working at an automotive company. I was brought in to do that. I've done a little bit of consulting here and there for lean implementation, but my thing really is about communication, because I guess from early on, since I was dealing with international situations and I had to work through the process of miscommunication and improve that, I've become more passionate about using lean thinking to improve the communication processes in companies, especially now that communications become so critical. I see that as an opportunity for lean thinkers to join this. You know, I'm not the owner of this. I want people to join this kind of like as a new thing to add on, as a complementary thing to add on to lean. And so, one thing that I like that maybe will help understand how to drive this or how to tie the lean to the communication is something that the author of Gemba Kaizen, I don't know if you've heard of Masaki Imai,
mm-hmm.
Wrote in Gemba Kaizen, he talks about work being a series of processes where each process has a supplier and a customer. And he refers to the next process that it should always be regarded as your customer. And so having a real, you know, having this realization, it helps get to a commitment to never pass on defective parts or inaccurate pieces of information to those in the next process. So in summary, to me, the way I see his statement, which I still adhere to, is when we realize that in order to satisfy the external customer in our manufacturing, it's a good practice to think of of everybody as your customer, and it becomes a supplier customer relationship. Because guess what? We all want to satisfy our customers. So you start becoming more clear. You start delivering information that makes sense. You start reducing the information that is ambiguous, that you know might contribute to a misunderstanding, that's going to contribute to getting things done wrong. And so I think that the supplier-customer relationship is a good way to tie this communication with the benefit that you're bringing, the value that you're bringing to the external customer. So that's kind of the work that, with Lean, and most of my books have been related to that. My first book, by the way, is titled Lean Potion Number 9, Communication Lean From, which is, I can hear you laughing. You're probably from my generation with the song.
Yeah.
And that one was, less philosophical. It shows people how to use Plan, Do, Check, Act for improving communication, how to use 5S to improve communication. And so that was kind of the beginning of all of this. And now I've moved on to really a higher level and try to get this into a systemic, for people to see this as a systemic thing in their operations, and really take heed that this is a critical process. And yes, we can use lean thinking or other process improvement methodologies to improve it, because it's a process and there are ways to approach it.
I think when you're in a supply chain too, I mean, you're both a supplier and a customer, aren't you? Because on one side, you're getting something from somebody, so you are the customer to that person. You're pushing it out the other side, and you're the supplier. So you should, depending on where you sit, you should be able to see both sides of that equation.
Exactly. You're able to. That's the empathy thing, but that's for another conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Understand the viewpoint of the other. And by the way, every time that you interact, you learn. And so when you're interacting with people you don't know, you're learning how they understand you and how you can improve your way of sending the message so that they understand you. And as time goes on, the more interactions you're learning, and then you can communicate faster, knowing that you're going to get things done, in a more efficient way. But at the beginning, if you don't know somebody, I like this thing from Daniel Kahneman that says, slow down so you can move fast. In communication, that works quite well. When you're dealing with international things, people that don't speak your language, or with time zones, slow down so you can move fast. I can tell you that, it's dead on the money. It works really well.
What's the next step on your journey, Sam? What challenges do you hope to address for manufacturers and business leaders?
My wish is that, the lean community and manufacturing community starts adhering to some of this stuff. I know that it's, busy days, but sometimes they're busy days and we seem to be firefighting a lot, sometimes because of miscommunication. So I think I'd begin with having people understand that there's a cause and effect relationship between communication and our actions, tasks, and our processes. And so once we understand that, we're going to, we might start taking it a little bit more seriously to include communication processes and the improvement of communication processes in our culture of quality in manufacturing. So that's one thing. The next thing is a little bit more practical. How to build this into systemic problem solving, how to embed lessons learned processes, how to embed open dialogue. And these seem to be external to manufacturing sometimes. People like to separate those and say, oh, that's kind of coaching, or you need to do that somewhere else, you need to do that with leadership. But I think otherwise. I think that the idea is to bring this in as part of what everybody needs to learn, especially the technical professions, because we're so, you know, in our curriculum, this is not something that is in it, unfortunately. And so I think it's needed. So it's bring it into the curriculums, make sure that everybody practices this through those, you know, through problem solving, lessons learned, and open dialogue. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And then one last thing is I find that because of the global nature of manufacturing, I think cross-cultural education is something that has become as important. It impacts communication directly related to it. So it's important to have cross-cultural communication understanding. Whether you do some online, of course, I advocate that you do some online or some reading, but have the opportunity to get the training alongside people from other cultures, because that's when you're going to benefit the most. And that's kind of the way that we practice. When we go into companies and they have global operations, we like to have their global operations teams working together in these, you know, in these workshops. We give them activities, we do things like that, make sure that they really get it, that they really grasp what culture can do to either derail your processes in manufacturing or to use it as an advantage, as a competitive advantage in this century. You know, we are in the 21st century, Janet, and I'm amazed that fortunately we still think that 5G and robots are going to save the day. And there's a place for robots and 5G, no doubt. But I think that we have years to come, years to go, where people are still going to be driving the front lines of our manufacturing activities. And so I think this is an important chapter.
Right. And I think once people understand each other, things get a lot easier, right? So yeah, that communication part and getting people to understand how cultures work and things like that would really bridge that communication gap.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sam, thanks very much. Really great insights today. I really appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity, Janet.
Oh, my pleasure. Sam Yankelevich has over 30 years of experience in manufacturing, and he now shares his knowledge with other leaders as a manufacturing coach, an author, and a speaker. If you'd like more information, he has 4 books on lean manufacturing. You can find them on his website, which is samyankelevich.com, or you can join him on LinkedIn. And that is our show for this week. Thanks very much for joining us. Please check out our Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook feeds and subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Janet Eastman, and thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.